Governor Tony Evers is calling for special elections to fill a vacant state Senate seat in Madison and a congressional seat in Washington. It's Wednesday, May 15th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, construction of a controversial transmission line that will run through a national wildlife refuge is underway. And a ceremonial football is traveling across the state as part of a kickoff event for the 2025 NFL Draft being held in Green Bay. Stay with us.
Being up to date on the news matters to you. That's where Wisconsin Today comes in. These 10 minutes of the biggest stories from around the state, they're possible thanks to community support. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Governor Tony Evers has called special elections to fill vacant state Senate and congressional district seats, but both of those come with a twist. The special congressional election comes after U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher resigned last month. Because of the timing, state law requires the special election and general election for the seat to be held on the same day. That means candidates will appear twice on the same ballot. UW-Milwaukee political science professor Emeritus Mordecai Lee says it might not seem logical, but there's a good explanation for it.
Congress is pretty much of a full-time institution, so it is possible that there would be floor votes in Congress in November and December that probably would be a good idea for Northeast Wisconsin to have a voice in that.
Evers also called a special election for the 4th State Senate District, which will be held in July. That would be the first election held under new legislative maps, which were signed by Evers earlier this year. Senate Republicans, meanwhile, voted yesterday to override 9 of Governor Tony Evers' vetoes. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, it's unclear if the state assembly will do the same.
The overrides passed on pure party lines. They include one that could let prosecutors more easily drop charges against people who allegedly committed crimes in the name of self-defense. Democratic Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee argued that would have given extra protections to, quote, bad apples in law enforcement.
I can't believe that this is something that you guys actually want to pursue and are bringing it back up.
The Senate also voted to override vetoes on PFAS funding and wolf calls. In order for the overrides to succeed, they'll need to pass the Assembly, where Republicans would need a couple votes from Democrats. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Milwaukee area Jewish groups are criticizing the deal that UW-Milwaukee struck with pro-Palestinian protesters over the weekend. That agreement included not ticketing students for setting up tents on campus and includes UWM calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Jewish groups say Chancellor Mark Monet has refused to meet with Jewish students for more than 7 months. They also say he will not address anti-Semitic events on campus. The deal between campus officials also called for the nonprofit Water Council to cease its relationship with Israeli government-owned businesses. The Water Council responded Tuesday, saying they don't do business with the companies. The Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman also took to social media to say he was disappointed by the deal. UWM says they are, quote, deeply concerned about the Jewish group's claims and are addressing the situation. Construction of a controversial transmission line began Monday at a Mississippi River crossing. As Danielle Kading reports, work is underway even as court battles continue over the project's path through a national wildlife refuge.
Utilities recently finished a land swap to build the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service exchanged land in a Mississippi River Wildlife Refuge near Cassville for another property in Grant County. Conservation groups have been trying to prevent utilities from building there with ongoing legal challenges. The group's attorney, Howard Lerner, says they're again asking a court to temporarily block construction.
We can have clean energy. We can have transmission without sacrificing our national wildlife refuges and our national parks. That's through better, smarter siting.
A federal judge says he's holding off on a ruling until he can examine new findings. An attorney for utilities says work on foundations for the line's towers is set to begin at the end of the month. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A football is making a lengthy journey from the home of the last NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan, to Green Bay. Evan Casey has more on the kickoff event for the 2025 NFL Draft.
The football traveled across Lake Michigan by ferry to Milwaukee. Next, it'll travel 100 miles north to Green Bay by bicycle. The trip is a nod to a long-standing Packers tradition where players ride bikes to practice. Chris Kohorst works for the Packers and is doing the ride. He says it'll take around 7 hours, ending at Lambeau Field, where a countdown clock will be unveiled.
It's going to be cold and windy, but once you get going, the excitement will warm you up, so we're excited.
Kohorst said the event will be a big deal for people across the state.
It's exciting time for Green Bay. It's exciting time for Wisconsin. With the draft coming in here, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are going to be coming to visit Green Bay. And so it's a cool thing, way to kick it off.
The draft is just under 350 days away. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, the action movie series John Wick features Keanu Reeves doing stunt after stunt, but the real John Wick is far from the movie version of him. In today's Wisconsin Life, we'll hear about the Wick from right here in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story of the man behind the action hero.
You know the action movie character John Wick, the assassin who avenges the death of his dog? Well, did you know the real John Wick lives in Wisconsin? Matt Geiger introduces us to him.
I'm sitting in a roadside diner in Reno when John Wick walks through the door. The John Wick. The John Wick you may be better acquainted with is an assassin in a black suit with matching hair and beard. Over the course of three movies, he has killed somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 bad guys. Played by an earnest Keanu Reeves, he uses a pencil and a dusty book of Russian fairy tales, among other things, as lethal weapons.
People keep asking if I'm back, and I haven't really had an answer. But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
Of course, on the other hand...
Back in the diner, the man next to me is 96, deaf, and uses a walker to get around. He eats here 6 days a week, and shortly after he arrives, a tall glass of cold milk and a bowl brimming with fruit are placed on the table in front of him. Wick has lived in Mazamani since 1955. He wears a wedding ring in remembrance of Helen, the woman he married in 1947. How did this John Wick in the movie John Wick come to share a name? The answer is screenwriter Derek Kolstad, who happens to be the real John Wick's grandson.
And he wrote a movie called Scorn. And in that movie, he named the assassin John Wick for his grandfather, and the assassin's wife, Helen, for his grandmother. It was Keanu Reeves who, in a desire to create a series of movies, who removed the name Scorn and gave it the name John Wick.
So what does he think of the movies that bear his name and have racked up more than $500 million at the global box office?
No, I haven't seen them. And Derek knows I haven't seen them. I don't go to movies because I can't hear them. I don't have television because I can't hear it.
Despite not seeing or hearing them, he has enjoyed their success.
Oh, yeah. That's been fun. I've enjoyed that. Yeah.
In the movies, Wick fights against villains who killed a puppy that was a gift from his recently deceased wife.
When Helen died, I lost everything. Until that dog arrived on my doorstep. And your son took that from me.
As I sit here with Mr. Wick, it occurs to me just how important the real Helen, who died 5 years ago, is. The real John Wick grew up on a farm, joined the U.S. Navy, and had a long career in construction. He proudly points out the size of his family, his clan, as he calls them, which includes 58 people. Despite all the fun and outlandish aesthetics and action of the films, perhaps what makes these stories so popular is how they capture the bond between two people. when someone we love is taken in real life, usually simply by time rather than assassins, we are left to go on without them. But we refuse. We hold on, and in our memories, in the stories we tell, we keep them here in our world just a little longer.
Over the years, Helen and I often went into Madison to eat and go to a movie. Just the two of us, not with the kids.
John Wick's grandson told a story that's been seen and heard by millions of people. Here in Grandma Mary's diner, surrounded by clattering dishes and far from Hollywood, the original John Wick tells his own story. Not of the movies that bear his name, but of the films he used to see all those years ago, and the person with whom he saw them.
Writer Matt Geiger brought us that story on the real John Wick. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Alex Crow, your host of the program, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We'll be in that podcast feed every weekday morning. That is a promise, so just hit subscribe, tell a friend, help spread the word. That's what you can do for us. We'll take care of bringing you the news. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.